Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Today, everyone, this is a very, very special day. I'm Mama Mac right here in the studio along with my co-host, the famous Dr. Angel Falzone. And it's such an amazing day because it is opening day of the Major League Baseball time.
Yes.
Not that we got excited about that, having a show named Go Yard, which means hitting a home run. That may be why we're that excited about it. Plus, we just love baseball.
Yes, we do.
And so it was not that hard to name this show that. But it was named because why? What does Go Yard mean to you, Dr. Angel?
Well, you know, it is a baseball term, meaning hitting the home runs. And we really want to help our listeners hit those home runs in life. You know, not just exist, but live life and live it well.
And, you know, that's so true. And there's so many times that we come to places in our lives where we feel like we're not hitting home runs, we're striking out all the time, as it says in our opening there, that there's so many times that we just strike out or we just feel like we're never going to get a base hit, we're never going to get on base, we're never going to get anywhere with the situation we're in, and we just become discouraged and defeated, you know?
Yes, very much so.
So why do we do this show week after week now 4.5 years?
We do the show, well, because it's all about getting out to our listeners, giving them tools and things to really help them, you know, improve their life, improve the quality of their life, help them hit their goals, reach their potential.
Absolutely. And you are a PhD, licensed mental health counselor. You hold 2 master's degrees. You hold 2 bachelor's degrees. My bachelor's degree seems puny compared to everything that you hold. But anyway, you've been counseling and doing this, working in this field for a long time. I have as a pastor, so we come before our people with a lot of experience, I suppose.
Yes.
And a lot of times where we've had to work through an awful lot of things with people we've counseled.
Oh, yes.
And so this is a life coaching show. And what do you mean by life coaching, Dr. Angel?
Well, you know, life coaching is solution focused. So we take a problem and we try to give you the solution to those things, things that you can do
right.
to help yourself.
Right. Yeah. And we've covered so many topics. Just spray a few against the wall here.
Oh, my goodness.
For our audience.
We have taken on addictions and parenting and boundaries and goal setting and depression and mental health issues.
Exactly.
And all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of issues. And we just recently finished a 5-part series. Well, last week we finished it on boundary setting. What that means, if you missed it, go to tantalknetwork.com right here at the station and go to the podcast tab. And there will be a little blue thing where you open up Internet Pros, go in there, and you'll see all the names of all the shows here. You can catch shows you've missed, catch titles if you go to our website, goyard2014.org. And that's a good idea if people are looking for a certain topic, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, exactly. When you might not have been listening to the show, or when we did a certain topic, it didn't relate to you, but life always happens and things come around. And so you can find
right.
a show for what you need, probably. We have so many topics.
We have so many topics. And we just keep on doing this year after year, because there's always things going on in life that we need to be reminded that there are solutions. And overall, our goal on the show is constantly to be positive, to give solutions, to give hope, to give encouragement to our listeners, that no matter what you're facing, maybe a very difficult teenager, maybe you're facing a divorce or a work situation or whatever it may be, or just having trouble getting along with people, whatever it is, we got shows out there that...
Yes, we do.
That will cover that. So with the titles, you want to go to our website, GoYard2014. That's the year we began the show, .org. GoYard2014.org. And you will find the titles there of a lot of our shows. Just occasionally do we do a rerun. We are almost always right here live in the studio. So we are. And if you'd like to call in during the show, that would be great. And you can do that by calling 727-441-3000. 727-441-3000. And Tommy will patch you through to us with your questions or your comments, and we welcome you to do that. Or you can text directly to my phone, 727-888-4171. What's our topic tonight, Doctor?
Tonight's topic is when you are stuck on a plateau.
A plateau. Let's define plateau.
Oh, wow. What does it mean to be on a plateau? You know, I think we've heard that term a lot when it comes to, like, dieting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes. So I've been on plateaus many, many times through the years. Yes.
So a plateau happens when you've made some progress and then you just seem to have leveled off on that progress.
Right.
It's when you start to feel like you're not making any more progress, like you hit a wall.
You hit a wall.
And that we call that a plateau. And you feel like no matter what you do, you cannot take that next step up. You cannot improve. You get very frustrated in those plateaus.
Well, I've been there many times with dieting and whatever through the years, and I have found and I've been told that when you get to that plateau and you've tried everything you know to do, you got to do something totally different.
Absolutely.
You got to totally mix it up. Does that apply to what we're talking about tonight?
It sure does. You know, and plateaus in our life, I mean, of course, we've heard of it dieting, but it can apply to our personal life, our relationships, our educational life, our professional life. Like, any aspect of our life can have a plateau.
Okay. And so when you get to a plateau, usually you do know it, right? Because
you don't seem
to be making much progress. And I think there are some things that come along with plateaus, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think discouragement is one.
Yes.
That can happen. Depression,
mm-hmm.
Anxiety, because mm-hmm. You don't feel like you're getting anywhere, or the old things that always worked now aren't working
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason. Go ahead. Give me some more ideas of what happens when you hit a plateau. It's not a good place usually to be in. It's kind of a discouraging place is what I'm trying to say.
It can be very discouraging. You start feeling like you might be a failure, or do I really have what it takes to do this thing? And you start questioning yourself. You really start looking, a lot of times when people hit that plateau, it's what's wrong with me?
Right.
What's wrong with me? What's
yeah.
wrong with me? And then they get very extremely discouraged. A lot of anxiety, fear starts to take over. And then their thoughts start really ruminating in that fear, thinking about it all the time.
And you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't think of anything else. What am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this?
How am I going to get through this? You know,
yeah.
And so it can be a very discouraging and frustrating place to be.
Well, we get to the point, I think, when we're on a plateau where we feel like we've tried everything, nothing's going to change, and we're waiting for some... instant solution, and a lot of times those just do not come.
They yes, exactly.
You know?
Instant solutions aren't usually the what will free us from the plateau, but you do. You feel stuck. You
yeah.
just feel stuck in a rut.
Give
totally.
Us an example, Dr. Angel, of how this would apply to some people's lives. I mean, what areas in our lives can this affect us?
I mean, any area we can get stuck in that plateau. So you might be in a dating relationship, and that relationship starting to grow, and then it just kind of levels off and it's not growing. And what are we? Are we gonna, do we have a future? Do we not have it? You know, you
sure.
get stuck.
Sure.
Relationships can do that. Dieting can do that. Professional, maybe you started in with a company and you made some advancements. You have a goal to get to maybe an executive director or upper management, and you're kind of in middle management and you just been there for a while and you
right.
feel stuck.
Right.
And so it can happen everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Absolutely.
You can have life. I mean, from dieting and exercise all the way to...
And
raising our kids.
Well, and how many times I have heard in pastoral counseling, and you probably have in counseling too, where a personal relationship, a marriage or whatever, it just seems to get to the point where the fun is gone or the yes. sizzle is gone or whatever you want to call it.
You kind of lose the passion when right. you're in these plateaus.
Right.
So
yeah.
then, you know, you lose those sparks of positive feelings. So then you get a lot of negative feelings starting yeah. to take over. And that's where you get, like you said, the discouragement, the depression,
right.
the anxiety, the fear, like all of this starts looking at, you know, aiming at you.
Right. Is there good news for when you get into a plateau?
Well, there can be good news. And the good news is a lot of people hit a plateau right before they're about to have a big personal growth move.
Oh, whoa.
Yes.
I believe that happens spiritually. I've mm-hmm. seen that in my life spiritually, that I can get like, just like, oh my gosh, nothing's changing, nothing's moving forward. And then suddenly there's the breakthrough.
There's the breakthrough. And it's usually we have a breakthrough right about when we want to give up, right? When
right.
we're like, okay, forget it. I was a fool for trying X, Y, Z. But when we are on that plateau, we need to recognize we're there
right.
so that we cannot miss our breakthrough.
Okay, so do we embrace the plateau or do we want to get off of the plateau?
Well, when we get stuck on it, we definitely want to embrace and acknowledge that we're there. A lot of times we try to fight it.
Okay.
And we try to fight it with all the same things that had worked for us previously, but
sure.
they're just not working, so we're wasting so much time and energy.
Right.
Because we're fighting the plateau.
I keep seeing a golf course, okay, and I love golf, all right? Played it a lot through my years. And when you're teeing off a golf course, you're hitting that ball out there somewhere, and you're trying to get to that place up there where you're putting in a more of a plateau area. And when you do get there, though, which you're going to inevitably have to, or mm-hmm. just quit, pick up your ball and go home. When you get to that plateau, it's almost like it's inevitable. And then, you know, there is that stress of putting, which is difficult. But then as soon as that's done, you're moving on and you're going through the same thing again. So this is what I'm trying to say is, this is not uncommon in our lives. This is a common thing we go through where there is the excitement of, let's say, hitting the ball off the tee and you go a long way. But then you know you got to get to that place where it's going to be kind of even, smooth ground, try to hit the ball in.
Absolutely.
That is all that makes sense to you since you are not a golfer?
It makes good sense to me.
Okay.
And a lot of times people get stuck in those and one-hit wonder songs. People that we know that have this great
yes,
breakthrough,
that's
one-hit
right.
wonder, and then we never hear, they fall off the map.
Right.
Well, they hit a plateau, and they let the plateau overtake them.
Right.
They did not continue through their plateau to the other side. And so our plateaus can, push us way back, too, if we allow that to happen. So it's really important we recognize when we're in there.
And there's no set amount of time to be in the plateau's frame of mind, right?
Absolutely.
It can take a long time. It can be that you're still in that same position at work that you were in when you hired in, or it can be something that happens relatively quickly that you get off of the plateau, right?
Absolutely, and each plateau is different. So, a lot of times we like to measure what's going to happen now based on experiences we've had in the past. And if you've worked through one plateau really quickly, don't expect that to be a norm. Some might be quicker, some might take longer to get through those plateaus.
So there's no real set amount of time once you know that you're on a plateau and you're not seemingly doing anything, right?
No, there is not a set time. But if you're fighting it, you'll be there longer.
Okay. Why do we get stuck on these? Why do we fight it? Why do we get there and we just don't seem to get out of it? Help us, Dr. Angel.
Well, it's important to know why we get into plateaus,
right.
so we can try and help us not get there. Immunity. It's kind of doing the same thing the same way all the time. We kind of get immune to that, and actually that's one of the little recipes for a plateau. So it happens in our relationships where, like, when you first tell your person, oh, I love you, and sweet, kind things,
right.
and
yeah.
you feel the good feelings, and then after a while, it doesn't give you those feelings anymore, and those relationships kind of hit mm-hmm. plateau. It's that immunity, and the immunity of doing the same thing over
just
and over.
Just doing the same thing. The repetitiveness mm-hmm. of it gets you kind of stuck.
And why that happens is because your brain kicks in an automatic mode. So,
okay.
like, when you're first learning something, you, like, have to focus and concentrate, right?
Mm.
You're trying to make those brain connections, and you really have to take your time and figure it out. And then as you get a little better at it, you use a little less brain power. And then when you're proficient at it, well, it's automatic, right? You're doing it. You're not thinking about it. You're kind of going through the motions.
Right.
That's one of the things that gets us on a plateau. So if you're living your life and you're just going through the motions, you have a recipe for hitting a plateau.
Okay. Give us some other why do we get stuck?
I'm seeking short-term solutions. So just like you said, there's no instant fix. So
no, there isn't.
People who look for short-term solutions over the long-term solutions usually get hit in a plateau because they're looking for the moment instead of looking at the big picture. And so the best short-term solution hardly ever leads to long-term, but long-term outcomes. So when you jump on a short-term solution, we want to look at what's that going to look like in the long run? So over time, like people who get in those adjustable rate mortgages, right? It's going to drop my payment down $300-$400, but in 3 years from now, it might make my payment go double what it is today, right?
Exactly. That's what happened in the recession.
And then they get into trouble and they get stressed. Okay, right. That's the kind of thing we're talking about, looking at making those decisions.
So people rush into making a short-term thing
to help them in the moment, but they do not think about how that's going to impact, what's the future of that going to look like.
Well, that can be in personal relationships, too, and people get pulled into an affair, quote-unquote, whatever that might be, and it's fun for the moment, but then when it really comes to giving up your home and your stability and your spouse and your children and going through divorce, it's another story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Moving in together too soon because, I need help financially, and they'll be my roommate, but it's a romantic relationship, and 6 months down the road, it's not working out because it wasn't, the natural progression. So short-term solutions hardly ever give
us
good
long-term good point.
Results.
So be careful of short-term solutions, right?
Yes, be very careful.
Shortcuts,
because we are a whole culture of wanting it our way, wanting it
now.
Oh
my gosh. I think this is probably one of the biggest reasons people get into this is because we are a culture of quick, hurry.
Give it to
Let's
me
do
now.
It now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those will get us there. Using distorted data or information. This happens when we focus on small pieces of information instead of an entire picture. And it sets us back. We feel like we failed. So say we might have a bad month in our business and now that sets us back. We use distorted information to make, instead of looking at, what did the business do over the last 12 months or the last 2 years? We base everything on this small piece of information, and we do that.
And that can get people that are especially self-employed and in business for themselves very discouraged if they're in a slump, let's say.
Or losing weight. This is a big one because we have natural fluctuations of water in our body.
Sure, absolutely.
You get on the scale today and I might be 140, and in 3 days I might be 143, but I did all my dieting, and we get frustrated.
Right.
That little piece of information, instead of saying, I've lost 20 pounds over the last 2 months, I'm just discouraged about the 3 pounds this week.
Right.
And then we quit. Right?
Yeah.
That's when most people start quitting diets.
Yeah. And it goes that way, too, with in relationships. A lot of times people are not seeing the long-term benefit of that relationship. They're just mad right now, and they say things they shouldn't say that cause sometimes permanent damage to that relationship.
Absolutely. So we want to really watch what information we're making our decisions on. And is this information is this a broad piece of information or a small, narrow piece?
Okay.
And distraction. All right. I think this is a big one. People get stuck on a plateau because they get distracted. They fall victim to the, and do everything.
Yes.
And what happens is they're not finishing anything.
Right.
So they have 45 started projects. Nothing is finished and they're not moving forward.
Oh my gosh, this is a huge key, right?
Yes.
Because, and years ago, when I was in earlier years in business, I learned to just make lists and try to accomplish those things that day and check them off. And I love doing that. I still do it, cross them off with different color of ink. And it makes me realize, I did get those things done. But it's too easy for most people to get distracted and move on to something else. And then the other thing never got finished, right?
Yes.
Because
they
lost their attention span, right?
Right, and they maybe have lost not only their attention, but maybe the momentum they had in the moment. Maybe they just lost the drive to do it. They started out strong. I'm going to do X, Y, Z, and then they get a quarter into it, and then something else comes, and they need to divert
their
attention.
Or they get a phone call, and somebody wants them to go do this. Okay, I'll go. I'll get back to this later. And then they don't, right?
Right, exactly. So, a good analogy for that is reading a book. Do you know how many people start a book that never get to the ending of a book? So there's so many books that people will read, the first three chapters, and the percentages are really high. It's 80% or something of all books started are not finished.
Oh my gosh, that's huge.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, that's distraction.
Okay.
The distraction will keep us from making progress and plateau us out.
Right. And distraction time, a lot of times it's a better offer, a better situation. Okay, I'll go to this, and I'll go do this instead of finish that, because it's just there's something attractive about that. Right.
Absolutely. And so when we have things that are not finished, we aren't moving forward.
Right.
So we have to work on finishing tasks, not just starting them. You know, a lot of people get distracted when they just make the plan for the task. You know, they'll come, they have this great plan. Let me tell you about my new plan. This is how I'm going to do it, or my new organization system, or my new whatever. And then it's great. Okay, good for you. And then that's where it stops. They get distracted, and they've never implemented their plan, and they get on a plateau.
Okay, so distraction is one of the biggest, probably, reasons why we just get stuck on these plateaus. So what does a person do about the distraction? If they are prone to that, Dr. Angel,
mm-hmm.
I mean, let's just take that. We're right there on distraction right now. What can we do about that? If a listener is going, that's me, I'm always starting this or starting that, and I never finish it.
Well, one of the things we can do about distraction is, first of all, we need to be aware, yes, I am the one who gets distracted, and start making a completion plan. I am going to complete this task before I start a new task. I am going to complete this task and really work on it intentionally on task completion. You know, it's not super realistic to say I can only do one thing at a time, but maybe we'll only have 3 tasks going instead of 25 tasks going.
Right, exactly.
And one good thing to help us with completion is make your bed every morning.
Oh, I always do. First thing I do out of bed.
Well, it puts you in that mindset.
Absolutely. I cannot. Even if I get distracted, quote unquote, with a phone call or something, I'm right back there to get the bed made first.
Exactly.
That's got to be done first.
Because you have a completion
every
morning. And one completion, we feel good. We're more, you know, to have another one. I saw a funny meme on Facebook this week that said, oh, for my laundry, wash takes 30 minutes, the dryer takes 60 minutes, and putting it away takes 5 to 7 business days.
Oh,
that
my gosh.
It's distraction, my friend. But so many people
that's
fall
funny,
into that.
Though, but that's
it's true.
That's really true for a lot of people.
It sure is. And then they hit this plateau, and they're like, why am I here? And
right.
So we've really got to learn to filter out those distractions. I'm going to turn my phone off when I'm working on this project, or I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to really dedicate this time to what I'm working on each stage that I'm doing it.
Well, and don't you think routine really helps when it's a good routine, let's say? Yeah, you know you do laundry on this day and that day or whatever. Or laundry's piling up and you stop what you're doing. You go, I've got to get this laundry done. And it's too easy to give in to any kind of distraction, whatever it might be, a phone call, let's go here, let's go there. You know, it's not that we should be so rigid in life that we can't do our laundry on a different day. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's got to be an importance we place on some things in our lives.
Yes.
And so we don't live totally, what's the word I'm going to say? Just helter-skelter, I guess. You know
no,
what? I
you're
don't know
right.
what. How do you define helter-skelter? But
we just, right now, it's in chaos. A lot of people have so much chaos.
Yes.
You know, and then when they start getting behind, laundry's a great one because it's easy to get behind on.
Right.
Then they don't want to do it because now it's overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
it's
even know
much.
Where to start. And this is going to take me forever. And then we ignore it and we let ourselves continue to get distracted.
Right.
Meanwhile, we're falling further behind and getting more anxious and more overwhelmed. And so we can bury ourselves, literally.
There is such a good feeling when you accomplish a task. Let's come back to that point as soon as we take this break real quick. We will be right back. I'm glad you're listening to Go Yard tonight.
On the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network, AM 1340, WTAN.
Take Back My Life song. I like that. My fight song. That's a cool song.
I love that. It's so empowering.
It so applies to the topic we're on tonight, Dr. Angel. If you just joined us, this is Go Yard with Dr. Angel and me, Mama Mac. And we're talking about when we're stuck on a plateau in life.
Yes.
In whatever area that might be. And we just posed a question. How does it feel to accomplish a task? I think a lot of people don't accomplish many tasks, so they're not real familiar with that feeling.
I agree with you.
They get stuck on plateaus,
do.
Right?
Yes, they do.
So how does it feel to accomplish a task? How should it feel?
Well, it should feel positive.
Okay.
You know, you should feel success.
Right.
And you should feel a weight coming off your shoulder.
Exactly.
Because you've taken a burden or something off of you.
How does it feel if you go to bed at night and you realize you didn't accomplish anything today but play some video games or watch TV or never got out of your pajamas? How does that feel?
Yeah, you do not feel positive feelings. You're not feeling successful. You feel more buried, maybe more overwhelmed, maybe discouraged.
It's one thing if you're sick. That's different.
Right.
That's fine. You know, but if you are one of these that really need to work from home, let's say, people that work from home have a hard time with that sometimes, you know?
Yes, they do. And it takes a lot of self-discipline.
It does.
And, you know, accomplishing a task is really important. It's an important part of helping us get through our plateau.
Right.
And so we have to really watch distraction. That is a huge one. And the last big thing what gets us there is perfectionism. You know, a lot of time we're always waiting for the right moment to make that move and the right situation to make that move or the right exact thing to happen. And perfection is an impossible standard. There is no such thing as perfect. You know,
right.
There's never going to be a perfect time for whatever you're thinking about doing.
Oh, I thought you could only do laundry on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock in the morning or Saturday. No, there is no. That's
not
what you're
right.
saying.
We
can adjust it for ourselves,
yes.
right?
But a lot of times people have this like, when things are perfect, I'm going to seek that job promotion or whatever. We can't wait on that. It's an impossible standard, and perfection keeps us from taking action.
Right.
We just stay stuck because it's never perfect.
It's never
perfect. So we have to get out of that. There's no reality to perfect.
So we got to really fight distractions. We've got to really start this thing, fight this thing of this, the perfect timing. It's not the perfect timing. Sometimes you just start in, do something.
Right.
And you'll feel better.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so how do you overcome plateaus, Dr. Angel? Give us some ideas here.
Well, first things first, you want to honestly look at how you're feeling about where you are in life.
Okay.
Both your past, your present, your future, all of it. How am I feeling right now on this plateau? We want to acknowledge and face those feelings.
Right.
Because if we ignore them, they are driving our motivation.
Right.
They drive our behavior, feelings, thoughts, behaviors are connected. And so we need to acknowledge it and face it. So am I afraid? Am I anxious? What is behind
these
feelings
it?
That I'm having?
So the listener right now that says, well, I don't know how to get to the bottom of what I feel. I see that I feel this way. I'm stuck and I can't seem to get off my plateau, but I don't know how to find out what it is I'm feeling.
Well, and when we start kind of taking that self-look, we'll start to see where our feelings are. You know, if you're a procrastinator, that's usually from those feelings of fear or anxiety. Procrastination is
you're
a
afraid.
Huge one.
Afraid you're going to fail, so afraid. Why start?
And a lot of times is I'm afraid I'm going to fail or
right.
I'm afraid I'm over my head. Like, what could happen if I just took any step without it maybe even being the best step? What if I just moved a step? What would happen? What would I feel? And so getting to the bottom of those feelings is really important.
Okay. Would you suggest that somebody write that down?
Oh, yes. Journal it. Absolutely.
And so if you're stuck on a plateau, get a book, get a journal, write down, here's what I'm feeling right now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel stuck in this area of my life, right?
Mm-hmm. And if you're not really able to get to the bottom of what it is you're feeling, just be open to keep examining that through your process. That doesn't mean I can't take the next step out of my plateau if I don't know what I'm feeling. It just means I need to come back and revisit that as I move through my plateau.
Okay.
So that's a big one.
Okay.
So face those feelings. The next one is take risks. Now, this is important. We need to be stretched. Most of the times we stay in our plateaus because they're comfortable.
Comfortable.
Right?
Yes, our comfy pants.
We stay in that junky job because at least we know what the paycheck's going to be and it's predictable, right?
Right.
And we're miserable doing it, but we just do it. And so we have to stretch out of our comfort zones. A lot of reasons that like high achievers sit on a plateau, a lot of people who are extremely intelligent plateau a lot.
Really?
Yes, it's that fear of failure and they're afraid of what's going to happen
change.
To them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That change word is hard for people.
Well, I've heard it said, and I'm sure it's probably true, that the best time to look for a new job is when you still have one.
That's true.
Why is that?
Because that's you're more motivated usually to look for that job when you have one. When you lose that job, then you start... You feel like
panic.
You failed, you're panicking, you're not presenting
right.
yourself the best because
right.
you're desperate, right? You go to that job interview and you're desperate and it comes across in the interview. And so we need to take risks. So instead of taking on challenges that will help us grow, what we do is we stick with routines that we know we can successfully do, and that's your plateau.
Mm-hmm.
And so to protect our ego, we would rather do wrong things correctly than do right things wrongly. I would rather see you make a decision that might have been wrong, but move, than to not make a decision at all.
Absolutely.
Because you can correct something wrong. It's a learning experience. But when you're not moving, you're just sinking.
You're just sinking. You're staying in the same thought patterns, the same job, the same income, whatever, whatever. You're not taking risk. Back to that point of taking a risk. Why do people have such a hard time, people that are stuck on a plateau, of taking a risk?
The big C word, change.
Change.
They
okay.
do not want to do something different. It takes more brain power to do things differently. And so taking risks.
Is fear at the root
yes.
of it, you think? Fear of failure, fear of messing
fear.
Up?
Fear. Fear, yes.
Fear.
Fear, fear, fear is
okay.
a big one.
Well, I don't know about y'all, but I think fear is horrible. It's your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
It is the opposite of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is going to keep you stuck. No matter how much you try, you've got to deal with the fear aspect of it.
Absolutely. It's a shackle, and it definitely keeps us from moving forward. So it is better. I'm going to say that again. It is better for us to make a wrong decision and move forward, you know, to make a decision and it's wrong, than to not make any decision. No decision keeps us still. A wrong decision is moving us some direction, and then we can fix it and correct it as we learn from that. So people get stuck on, I have to make the right decision all the time. We're not always going to make the right decision.
Okay.
So
you're saying make a decision, whether it, and let's say it's your laundry. How can it be a bad thing to do your laundry, right?
Well, true. Actually, I was reading a book, and if I could find it real quick, I will read this to you because I found this very interesting.
What book are you reading?
It's actually a book about marketing, but
okay.
I found it okay. talks about persistence and determination are the keys to success.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So many men have failed in business. So there was a man, he failed in a business. The following year, he was defeated for a seat in the legislature. The next year, he failed in business again. 3 years later, he suffered a nervous breakdown. 2 years after that, he was defeated for the speakership of a state legislature. 2 years after that, he was defeated for elector. Within 3 years, he was defeated for a seat in the U.S. Congress. 5 years later, he was defeated for a Congress a second time. 7 years later, he was defeated for the U.S. Senate. The following year, he lost a bid for vice president. 2 years later, he was defeated for a seat in the Senate again. And 2 years after that, he was elected president of the United States.
Abraham Lincoln.
Look at all those failures.
That is crazy.
Oh,
when I'm so
you
glad
quit?
You brought that in. That is really good. How many things did he fail at?
I mean, I didn't count, but there was quite a number of them. And he kept making a decision.
I didn't know
and
there
moving.
Were that many. I had heard before that he had failed at 3 or 4 electoral type
it
things that he was
of
defeated.
Them and businesses, and yet he kept making steps.
And so, what a great example, because look at that. One of the greatest presidents the United States has ever had.
Absolutely.
And he just kept failing. And now, with the way people are accusing each other. They would say, oh, you're a failure. You're no good. You can't. But you got to put those voices down, right? Isn't that what I...
Yes,
what
we
you
have
hear
to
in
put
this thing of
down.
Coming off of that plateau. He could have stopped quarterback at one of those first failures,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. I mean, a business and then
we
this
would
and
never
that.
Have heard we of would, Abraham Lincoln.
Right. And all of our lives would have been different. Our whole country could have been completely different had it not been for his presidency and his perseverance. And so we
Boy,
have
that's
to do
so
that.
Good. I'm so glad you brought that in because that is such an example. What a great leader. And for some people, they'd say, oh, well, he's failed too much. He can't be a success because he's failed and failed and failed. But when you fail, something happens to you. What is it?
Well, when we fail, we get motivated
right.
to figure it out, you know.
Yeah.
So failing, we learn how not
yeah.
to do something
right.
or what we could have done better. And each time we make improvements on those, instead of getting stuck in the failure and beating ourselves up and forget it, I quit. And that's today's mentality. When we fail, we just want to, I quit. Instead of getting to the I quit, it's what can I do different next time? What can I do? I'm sure each time he tried to run for a race, it wasn't the exact same platform. He
right.
tried little things differently, and it led him to his goal.
Boy, that's such a good point. And as parents and grandparents and teachers and things like that, we have an obligation to make sure that those that we influence understand that a failure is nothing but a blip on the radar.
And it's a learning experience.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's not a bad thing.
No, it's a learning experience. In fact, we can grow so much from our failures. So failures can be very positive things. And so
right.
on our journey of getting through our plateaus, we need to embrace the plateau, the stuckness. We need
the
to...
Stuckness? Is that a word?
Well,
stuckness.
I use it as a word. Probably not.
Stuckness. How do we spell that? S-T-U-C-K-N-E-S-S.
That's
stuckness.
How I spelled it.
Okay. Stuckness. Embrace the stuckness.
Yeah. So we need to come... You know, we need to overcome our aversion, our reluctance to take a risk. We need to
right.
give ourselves permission to fail or be mediocre and, you know, just keep moving forward.
Okay, let's go back on those again. We have to give ourselves permission to fail.
Yes.
Let's dissect that.
Okay.
Because I think that this is where a lot of people can't think about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a prideful thing. It
yes.
is... It is, I can't have messed that up, or I can't have lost that job. I can't let anybody know. So I'll just not answer the phone during the day, or I'll pretend like I still have the job, because it's a pride thing.
Oh, yes, very much a pride thing. And we are very ego-bound, especially now, and the way our culture is today. I mean, everything we do, we want to put on social media and get everyone's approval
Everybody,
for it.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I do not open my social media and someone said, well, I got fired today.
Never, you just never see that.
Right. We're not highlighting our failures.
No.
You know, but you have to change your mindset. So instead of seeing failure as a negative thing, we need to think of our failure as a step to success.
Okay. I love that. A step to success. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do we learn in failure? Maybe that will help some of our listeners understand this. When we do experience failure, you got to take that ego thing out of it,
mm-hmm.
don't you?
Absolutely.
And for those that struggle taking that out of it, explain that. What does it mean to take it out? What does it mean to leave it in? How does it look when it's in? How does it look when it's out?
Well, when we keep our ego in it, we are the failure. We start shaming ourselves. We start making ourselves feel horrible when we have failed.
Right.
It's all about me instead of seeing, okay, here's the failure. What can we learn out of this? What can we tweak out of this? What could we do differently next time?
I don't remember the details, but Thomas Edison did not succeed on inventing the light bulb
no.
on the first try, right?
No.
We'd have to look it up, but there were several tries,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, something like 1,000.
I mean, tons of
yes.
things that he worked through, but he still could see at the end of the tunnel a light. No pun intended. A light at the end of the tunnel, right?
Yes.
That he was moving towards. Well, my gosh, we wouldn't even be on the air right now without electricity.
Right. And when they questioned Thomas Edison and they were like, oh, how does it feel to fail 999 times or whatever the number was?
We got to look that up. I want to look that up.
He's like, I just learned 999 ways how not to do it. You know, that is the mentality of
yes.
failure is a step to success. Each failure is a step to success.
Okay, so we got to tackle this pride thing, audience. So often we don't want to let anybody know we've lost a job, or we don't want to let anybody know that the marriage just isn't working out and we've got to get a divorce. We're ashamed to discuss our failures.
Absolutely we are. But you know, if you really look at any success story, there are failures a part of their success story, and they're an important part of their success story. I mean, let's take J.K. Rowling, who wrote the whole Harry Potter series, and which has become a phenomenon. A whole amusement park is being built. She was a single mom writing in a coffee shop.
Wow. Wow.
There was failure part of that. I know the Kentucky Fried Chicken story. There's failure part of that.
Right.
Anything that's been great and successful, they have learned through their failure and use it as a step.
So we
got to
realize that failure is not a bad thing. It's a gift.
Yes.
It's a gift.
It is a gift. Absolutely. So embrace it. Embrace it. Step out. Take yourself out of it. It is not your shame. It is not who you are. It is what happened in this moment and what can I do about it.
And so often the failure really doesn't have that much to do with us. It's something else.
Oh, usually,
it's
yes.
Other people. It's a job that somebody else moved up the ladder and you didn't, or whatever. Whatever the case may be, a lot of times we take it on as our failure, our problem. Abraham Lincoln must not have done that, or he would never have become president, right?
Absolutely.
Got a caller? All right, put him on. It's Nan?
All right.
Hi, Nan.
Hey guys, how you doing, ladies?
Hey, what do you think of this topic?
I could write a book about this topic.
You can? All right, get busy.
But that's not why I was calling.
All right, go ahead.
I was calling to confirm exactly what Angel said. You wanted to look it up. Thomas Edison did fail 1,000 times at trying to make the
Are you kidding me? Seriously.
And when he was interviewed by a reporter who said, how do you feel about all this failing? He said, I did not fail. It took 1,000 steps to make the light bulb.
I did not fail. It just took 1,000 steps.
And that is failure is a step to success.
Oh, that is great. Wow. That's excellent. Thank you, Nan, for checking that out and calling in with that.
You're welcome.
Is there
no
anything
problem.
Else you'd like to comment
nope.
on?
Nope, that's it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Yes, bye. Oh, okay, so sometimes the step to success is not just, bam, there you are.
No.
You know.
Most of the time, it's not that way. There are bumpy roads. There's walls in there. There's, you know, things that happen. I mean, we've talked about this on other shows, but Walt Disney was fired for not being creative. Walt Disney was fired for not being creative.
I've forgotten that.
They said Oprah wasn't fit for television.
That's right.
And Michael Jordan never made his high school basketball team.
There you go. Those are huge.
So stories of greatness, of people who are achieving their goals, always have a story of failure behind their greatness. Because failures are steps to success.
Failures are steps to success. So that's why we embrace the stuckness.
Yes. Because we are on a step to success. We don't, you know, we don't want to pick up camp and party there, but we want to stop fighting it and start letting it do its work to get us through the plateau, to get us up a level.
Okay, so let's talk about what it does in us. Because a lot of times I think when we've lost a job or whatever, and it's a real boost, or I mean, it's a slam on our pride.
Absolutely.
Maybe we needed to be taken down a notch.
Maybe we did. Maybe there's something different we should be doing.
Or maybe it's to point out, hey, this wasn't for you.
Absolutely.
This is not where you fit.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes we don't know the reasons why things happen, but, you know, if you sit there and just boo-hoo cry, you know, you can have your boo-hoo cry for your day, and then what am I going to do now? Where am I going now?
I'm a firm believer that God has a plan for everybody's life. Most people, I believe, in this world do not ever find that.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
And that is just from my personal experience as a pastor. Most people just trudge along in life and let life happen instead of making life happen.
Absolutely.
You know, you can quote me on that. It just came out of my mouth. But it's true, right?
Yeah, they
do. And make it happen. I mean, if God has a plan for us, which I do believe he does, then sometimes when we fail at something, we're just not on the right path, perhaps.
That's not where we're supposed to be.
Right.
Absolutely. And so look at your failure as a step to success.
Okay.
And then on our journey of getting through our plateau, we want to seek constructive criticism. Sometimes we get blinded by our circumstances.
Let's discuss constructive criticism. What does that mean?
So constructive criticism is feedback that is honest, that gives us what we need to improve. Not what we want to hear, but what we need to hear.
Okay.
Sometimes it's harsh.
But you know, there's very few people in life who give constructive criticism and very few people who receive it. That's
absolutely
been my experience. Because it makes people mad. They're, I can't believe he said that to me.
Oh, yeah, they get defensive, right? They get angry, right? They get mad. And,
very few people are not courageous enough to give the constructive criticism for fear that they will lose their friend or their spouse or whatever.
Absolutely. But we're not being a friend if we're not being honest. And so seeking out mentors, people that you respect, people that can be objective, that can give you that feedback. Because maybe they are seeing something that you absolutely are just blinded by. And if you tweak a little thing, that there might be you're off the plateau.
Mm-hmm.
So seek it out. Learn to accept criticism is something that takes discipline and practice. And you want to learn to calmly reflect and see if there's value in the criticism. And then make the adjustment. So when someone gives it to you, don't take it personally, like I stink and blah, 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 blah. I'm a horrible person. I should just go eat worms.
Right.
What they say have some value? Let me just examine that.
Right.
Let me be willing to look at that.
But again, now we're back to the discussion of pride versus humility.
Absolutely. That ego gets in our way, and that's why we stay on plateaus. Our ego holds us on a plateau.
President Jimmy Carter, one of his favorite verses in the Bible was Micah 6:8. And actually, I'm going to talk about this Sunday. And it says, what does God require of you? And one of the things it says is to do good. It says, then live humbly.
Yes.
And that was one of Jimmy Carter's mantras. That's who he was. And you can still see that. And he was just a little peanut farmer in Georgia, right? Became president of the United States.
Yes.
But again, it is that living humbly. And I believe that that's a big part of getting off of these plateaus. We can get stuck in these plateaus when we are prideful. Well, I don't know why somebody would tell me that. I'm not going to take that. You're looking something up. So
I sure
what
am.
What are you looking up?
And one of my favorite ones that go with pride is Proverbs 16:8, where pride goes
before the fall. It certainly does.
And it applies here. Our pride will keep us stuck in that plateau or bring us down further than we were, and we'll lose ground that we've gained.
You know, I think we need to do a show maybe next week on pride and humility, because I think this is a big key to being able to receive
and grow
criticism that is helpful, not
yes.
somebody beating you down and you know, you off or you'll never amount to anything. I'm not talking about
that's not constructive criticism.
That's criticism.
Absolutely. That is criticism. Constructive criticism is helping. It's to construct, to help you build better.
Build up. Be better.
Right. So I'm objectively helping.
We need to go on with that next week, Doctor, if you're okay with that.
I think we do.
Because I don't think we've ever talked about this before in this way. How pride and how it starts, originates in us. What happens? Where did it come from? How does it grow?
Mm-hmm.
How do you recognize it?
Absolutely.
So often we can see it in other people, but a lot of times we don't see it in ourselves.
We do not. And we really are in a culture that ego, that pride, whatever you want to call it, is shackling us back from being our best selves, from moving forward, from our breakthrough.
Right.
And so we need to. And so if you're a person that when somebody tries to give you a constructive criticism and you're just angry at them or defensive at them or whatever, you don't want to hear it, start working on yourself, because you want to get to the place where you can accept it. And it happens when you take discipline and practice. Practice means I've got to hear it and learn how to accept it. And so find people you trust that you can practice this with, that you know are there to help you and not hurt you.
Right.
And really work through that criticism.
So practice being able to look honestly at yourself.
Yes.
That's a great place to start next week.
Absolutely.
I'm going to write that down.
While we only have a couple minutes left, I don't want to leave anything out.
No, go ahead.
We want to be deliberate in what we're doing. So we want to focus on our technique. We want to stay goal-oriented. We want to get feedback for improvements. We want to push ourselves to make improvements. A lot of times when we get on a plateau, we lose that energy, that push that we had, that drive. It's gone. We need to kind of find that spark again to keep moving forward. And sometimes it means getting back to the basic of what we're doing. Sometimes we just have too much going on, or we've done it the same way for so long that maybe we need to find a different way. Maybe there's a more effective way that we could be doing the same thing and help us get through our plateau. And so sometimes just get back to the basics of what it is you're trying. Try a different approach.
Right.
You know, that may help you push, you know, get through that plateau. And the last little tidbit here is think long term. Plateaus are temporary.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of times we treat something temporary as like forever, never going to end. They're temporary. So look, when have I been through a plateau before? What came after the end of the plateau? Was there a growth move in there for me? And just keep looking at the big picture. Okay, well, and the scope of where I'm at, okay, I'm on a plateau, but maybe I've lost 30 pounds in 5 months, and okay, I've gained 2 or 3, and I'm on a plateau, and I'm not losing. But when we move through that plateau, the results happen again.
Exactly.
That breakthrough happens.
And that is in relationships, too. You know,
absolutely.
You've seen people, relationships, people married for a long time, and when you get down and talk to them about, has it always been rosy? No, there have been hard times, but we made it through it, and we're together, and we're stronger together than we were.
And
right?
This is where we test our commitment and our resolve.
Ooh, commitment, resolve.
Is when you are in a plateau, because if you do not have commitment and you do not have resolve, you will not survive that plateau. It breaks whatever it is you were trying to get to. If it's a relationship,
but
if it's a diet.
That goes back to how easy it is for people to be distracted off of that issue, whatever it is, and to quit.
Absolutely. So instead of, oh, I failed at it, I just got distracted and forgot about it. And so we really need to work on minimizing those distractions.
Right.
And, you know, if you're a procrastinator, that is a huge one, that you're on a plateau. Procrastination is usually from someone on a plateau and they're feeling stuck. And so if that's something you're struggling with, this is really for you.
It really is. And procrastination is not ever going to benefit you. I mean, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today.
No.
How many times have you heard that?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, because it will only bring you down and make you feel bad about yourself that you haven't accomplished anything.
Right. It just buries you further.
So go do the laundry.
Go do it.
Yes. Right.
It would be better for you to start the wash at night before you go to bed than to say, I'll do it in the morning. Tomorrow never comes.
That's true. It never does.
Right? It's so easy. Oh, tomorrow. You know, and before long, you had 30 tomorrows, and it's still not done. Just do it.
Right.
You know, the Nike
just thing. Just do it. Wow.
This has been an amazing show, by the way.
It has. And actually, some things I want to change in my life. So I've been thinking as we talk, because it's when you face things like this and you look at your life and you go, am I stuck here in this area? What can I do different? You know, that's what we're saying.
Absolutely.
What can we do different?
I mean,
are we going to just stay stuck?
Absolutely. No, I'm not staying stuck.
the year before I moved to Florida, Tommy, I was stuck 14 times in my own driveway in the snow. In Indiana, and that was bad. But what you do is you dig out.
I
would still be there.
Yeah.
Well, it would have melted by now. But still, you got to learn to dig out.
Yes.
Summary, anything.
Summarizing it up, if you're on a plateau, remember it's a temporary situation. Yeah. Take steps. Even wrong steps are better than no steps. Cut yourself a break. You can do this.
And we're going on with this next week. So you got to tune in to Go Yard. Tell a friend all about it. Go to tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcasts and go to Go Yard and catch up on some series that you've missed. Go to our website, goyard2014.org. You want to check it out because we got titles on our shows that we've done now for 4.5 years. Goyard2014.org. And we look forward to talking to you again soon. And I want to remind you, Dr. Angel is going into private practice, and call her if you need an appointment, 727-501-6557. She'll tell you all about it. See you next week.
Good
this
night.
Has been
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.